Hello and welcome to the APM podcast, brought to you by the Chartered Body for the Project Profession. What is the true value of the project profession to the UK economy and society? That's the question that APM seeks to answer in its new research report, The Golden Thread. Expanding on research first published in 2019, the new Golden Thread report provides updated data on the contribution of the project profession in the context of the global disruptions of the past 5 years. Importantly, it gives an idea of how macroeconomic and social trends are impacting on the growth of project management, so that you can hone your future skills to capitalise on the changes to come. The report, carried out by APM and PwC Research, found that since 2019, the profession has created an additional 190,000 UK full-time equivalent jobs, taking the total number to 2.32 million employees, with annual gross value added growing by 19% to 186.8 billion. In this podcast, we share an edited recording of the launch event for the Golden Thread Report, held in London in April. We'll hear first from Samuel Pownall, Insight Consultant at PwC, who gave a short presentation on the report's key findings.
So a lot has changed since we launched the Golden Thread 5 years ago. We've seen global disruption on a massive scale. The way we work has probably changed forever. And many of us became so much more familiar with the inside of our own homes than we probably ever wanted to be. But a constant throughout all that disruption were project professionals and the work that they do and the change that they make at the heart of businesses of all shapes and sizes. And it is raising awareness of this project profession and the contribution it makes to society, which is why we came together 5 years ago. And for the first time, we were able to provide a robust measurement of its contribution to the economy. So we're very excited to share our 2024 results, which once again estimates the size and shape of the project profession in the UK. So it is a unique challenge estimating the economic contribution of project professionals. And in collaboration with our academic advisory group, we decided on the internationally recognised metric GVA, or gross value added, as our key measurement. And so our bespoke GVA tool, it measures the economic contribution of project professionals based on full-time equivalents in the UK workforce and their input in terms of salary and wage. To ensure comparability with 2019, we kept the same core methodology the same while looking to improve data quality and add in any additional data sources available since 2019. It is really important to us that this methodology is transparent and that it's replicable. It will be available online alongside the reports to read in further detail. But to summarize for today, we came to our final figure using a three-stage approach. An initial data analysis period where we analysed data from existing sources, such as the ONS Business Employment Register Survey, the APM Annual Salary Survey, and the specific industry sources. This was then supplemented by our own survey of 567 UK businesses across the UK and from 20 sectors with a focus on important sectors to project management. And then finally, we carried out a range of interviews with subject matter experts and project professionals to help validate and ensure that the results reflected reality. Our academic advisory panel helped us test and challenge the data to ensure that we're coming up with a robust measurement. Our research has found that project management has seen significant growth since 2019. We estimate that there are currently 2.32 million full-time equivalents in the UK workforce, contributing 186.8 billion of GVA annually. To put that in perspective, that represents 9.2% of the total UK GVA and is larger than many significant sectors, including the digital sector, which is valued around 158 billion. Our results, once again, demonstrate the importance of the project profession to the UK economy and how important it is as a cross-sector competence, the golden thread, as we call it, running throughout the whole economy. So how does this compare to our data in 2019? It represents an increase of almost 200,000 full-time equivalents, showing more and more professionals are dedicating themselves to project-based activities. And the increase in GVA of 19% outpaces the increase of 17% of overall UK GVA growth. At a sector level, We have seen steady growth in traditional project management sectors, including construction and business services. But we've also seen very fast-paced growth in sectors like technology, energy, and it is here that we're expecting to see quite fast demand growing for project professionals. And this expectation for growth was reflected in our survey. Over half of the businesses we surveyed expect growth in project activity over the next 3 to 5 years. And you can see that this optimism has only grown since 2019. This potential for growth is really exciting, but it also highlights the looming risk of a talent shortage. So it'll be really important that a robust talent pipeline is developed to ensure that organizations have access to professionals with the skills, the capabilities, and the knowledge to manage projects successfully.
The event then moved into a panel session with Professor Adam Bodison, Chief Executive of APM, Sue Kershaw, President of APM, Dr. Andrew Schuster, Partner at PwC and Visiting Fellow at Cranfield School of Management, and Dr. Efrosini Constantinou, Associate Professor at UCL. The panel considered trends shaping project management, how the profession might change over the coming years, and key lessons to take forward. Finally, the panel took questions from the audience. We pick up the conversation now with moderator Gabriela Ramirez-Rivas, Research and Impact Advisor at APM, asking Adam to provide some context and background on the latest Golden Thread study.
In 2019, APM was the first to attempt quantifying the actual value of the project profession. What motivated you to rerun the study, and what aspects do you find particularly interesting of this report?
Yeah, thank you. And, I extend my thanks again to all of those who've been involved in doing the work. It's a groundbreaking piece of work, extending the original piece of work. And I think it's something which is well used already by the profession. I go to so many conferences and events where I hear the Golden Thread research being quoted as a contributor to other work that's happening. So part of the reason, I think, for rerunning the work is that it does act as a catalyst for other work that goes on across the profession, which directly influences day-to-day work in the profession. But to come back to the report itself and why we decided to rerun it, I think there's multiple reasons. One of those, for me, is slightly selfish from an APM perspective, is we've got 45,000 members in our association. And, you know, we've seen the figures today, 2.32 million project professionals in the UK. So there is a huge untapped group of people there that we need to be having as part of the APM community. They need to be part of this wider profession. Some of those people may not even know that they are project professionals, potentially depending on their job title and how they are viewed within their own organisations. So I think it's incumbent upon us to actually get out there, identify who they are, so they can benefit from the resources and things that we've got. Because in turn, when they understand that they are project professionals and therefore can benefit from those resources, they have better project outcomes, and of course we know that benefits society. So that's the kind of the internal to the external. But one of the things in this report, of course, is it tells us not just how many there are and the gap, if you like, but it tells us where they are. So one of the things we have to do as a professional body is decide where to focus our resources. Do we go after the traditional sectors where we know all the project professionals are, the infrastructure, the digital, the construction, all of the ones we'll be well aware of? Or do we go after some of those that are less obvious? You know, hospitality, for example, is one of those in the quite high up. If I was to look at our representation within our membership of project professionals in the hospitality space, I imagine it's not representative of what we see in this work. So we need to do that. The second point I would just make is just around return on investment. The question I get asked probably more than any other question when I'm out and about by leaders mostly is, what's the return on investment for me and for my organisation if I spend money upskilling my workforce to be better project professionals? Why should I put my money into project professionals rather than, I don't know, finance or HR or marketing or any other area? And so this provides the evidence base for those people who are championing the profession in organisations to say, this is something worth putting money into. Not only does it develop and help us as an organisation, but it will ultimately help society as well.
Thank you, Adam. Well, speaking about rerunning the study, we now have Andrew here, who was participating in both the 2024 and the 2019 study. So I would like to ask you, Regarding trends, what specifically you thought was interesting of this edition?
First of all, what we're doing for the program project management profession matters. It mattered in the previous study, it matters now. The number that, when I first looked at some of the results, I thought, oh, that's not actually 8-9% of the economy. That's not a big number. That's a huge number. That's one profession and its impact across the entire economy. And the challenge, and it manifests in so many different ways. And what we want to do is actually start unpicking that a little bit to see where we can actually influence and support those people that are participating in that journey. So what we do matters. The second thing is, if you look at it from the perspective, is the work that we do is tied to what's happening in the economy. This is a macroeconomics kind of conversation we're having right now. Anyone remember Y2K and the huge investment that was? We still are filling the legacy of those investments, and the work we're doing is still carrying that work forward. Did anyone remember the financial crisis of 2009 and the impact that that had, et cetera? We've got the COVID hit us. Those things are impacting the economy, organizations are reacting, and guess who takes up the mantle for that? Those challenges? It's our community. And I pick up on the point that Sam made in terms of optimism for the future, in terms of growth in the profession. The optimism, some things are growing and some things are declining, but the good thing about our work is whether it's growing or declining, they need us to help make those changes and make those transformations. And so it's looking at some of the industries and sectors where we've seen prominence and continued, but it's those other ones that are actually quite interesting. When I was doing my studies, you know, doing my research, one of my research projects, and actually brought me to looking at project management in the creative industry, and looking at theater. You set up a production, you're setting a musical on the West End. It's a project, you know, and you start saying, okay, actually, these people need these skills and they need these insights. So how do we actually think more broadly in terms of what we do, and how do we enable that? And I'll make one last point here. So there's a couple of things I see emerging. Fundamentally, all organizations have a portfolio of investments that they are making in the delivery of the work they're trying to do. And there's a number that's good or right for that organization, and probably too much or too little. And one of the conversations I'm starting to see emerge in the organizations I deal with is what is the right size of that investment, and therefore what is the capacity and capability need on a program project managers to support that? That's a really interesting conversation for the APM that's engaging with, and this research is supporting that. So in terms of trends, what we do matters, the data supports that, and there's nuances within that, and I think we can look at the subtleties, but it's very much tied to what's happening in the economy. So pay attention to those ups and those downs in the economies, and let's adjust our capability and capacity accordingly.
I would now like to have pose a question on change to Effie. Your work in academia places you at the forefront of emerging trends shaping the future of the project management profession in the UK. What changes do you anticipate in the way the profession works?
I would say that there are three trends, essentially. The first one is that we are seeing a lot of interest in grand challenges such as the climate crisis, artificial intelligence, blockchain, the whole digital agenda. But also we are seeing a very significant interest in social inequalities and injustices. The social inequalities and injustices which are actually pulling apart our social relationships. So in the academic world, we have a very strong focus on issues of project efficiency. We do a lot of research in terms of time, cost, quality, and how projects can be competitive and efficient. But at the same time, I see that there is a very strong emphasis on the purpose of the project and how projects contribute to these social inequalities and injustices. 10 years ago, out of the 10 students that I was supervising at UCL, 9 students would be interested in issues such as time, cost, and quality, and only one would be interested in a topic such as the climate crisis. Today, that has been completely reversed. So we have 9 students interested in issues such as the climate crisis, or the refugee crisis, or gender studies, critical studies, and only one student who is interested in issues of project efficiency. The second trend that I identify is all around ethics. So we are realizing now that we all have a set of values and ethical principles that we bring into our work, and that these values are so significant, they are so personal, they are so subjective, that they become a force which actually defines the boundaries of the project, what is going to be allowed and not allowed within the project. So all of these decisions that we make in our projects every day, who we are going to work with, what projects we are going to work on, what decisions we are going to make, when we are going to make these decisions, all of these decisions have a very strong ethical component, and it is these ethics which actually defined what is going to be allowed in the project or not. The third trend that I see in the academia, and very much from our students as well, is the relationship that we have with our work. So the idea we had in the past that in order to be a professional, somebody has to leave aside their personal interests and priorities, and they have to adopt a set of professional attitudes and behaviors, is long gone. I see from our students that now they want to bring their interests in their projects, they want to bring their priorities into their projects, they want to bring their whole self within their projects. So where is the profession going? I would say that based on these three trends, on the emphasis and grand challenges, the ethics and the relationship that we have with our work, the profession is going to become a lot more inclusive. We are going to start hearing a lot more voices, a lot more interests, a lot more priorities, a lot more different perspectives and different orientations. And that is very important because the profession is, in that way, is going to become a lot more embedded in society and will have a more authentic relationship with society. So our profession is going to become a lot more important, not only because of the reasons that we are now understanding with the golden thread, but also because it's going to be a lot more relevant to a lot more people in different communities in our society. So in the academic world, I would say that we definitely have a focus on project efficiency and competitiveness, and we should research these topics. We should be able to deliver our projects on time, to cost and quality. But now there is an equal focus on grand challenges, on ethics, and how we see ourselves as professionals into our work, because our work is indeed, as we are all agreeing, very, very important.
My last question will go to you, Sue. What do you think are the key lessons for the industry after going through the report?
To me, it's all about value. We talked about GVA and how much that GVA is, but this is value to the individual. You are adding value to not only your client or your organisation or the part of the country you live in, you're adding value to the country you live in. And if you extend that, you're adding value to the world. Now, wouldn't that attract some Generation Z people into our profession? And we are a young profession. APM is only 50 years old. And when you compare that with other, say, civil engineering or accountancy or any other sort of professionalism, that is new and it's exciting and we are changing and we are agile. We are still the only profession you can come in at any level and add that value on any project, in any sector, and add that value. And that, as a human being, is what gets us out of bed in the morning. I truly believe that. And it's just great to have the evidence to prove it. What we do in the UK is really important. We are recognised internationally. And I noticed on one of the things, we need another 30 million project managers by 2030. That isn't far away. So I'd ask each one of you, when you leave here today, go back to where you work or where you live and encourage someone to come into the profession. It's a welcoming profession and it's making a huge difference. But there is room for improvement though. One of the other stats in there, I think, was women are twice as unlikely to choose project management as a career. That's crazy, absolutely crazy, because there's one thing, It is totally open to anyone. And I find personally that women are very, very good project managers naturally. I guess it's just the way our DNA is fired up. So encourage people to do that. I always look at project coordinators, for example, or project administrators, and I say, you can lead this project in 5 years. You've got all of the basics there. Just put it together and you really will make a difference. So that there's room for improvement, but it's a great celebration of our profession. And I really love the way APM does the research to evidence the facts. This isn't hearsay, what ifs or maybes. These are the figures. And it's a challenge to us all to keep on improving this. And when we do it in another 5 years' time, we'll see that GVA value go through the roof. It's a brilliant piece of work. Thank you.
We're APM, the only chartered membership organisation for the project profession. When you become an APM member, you'll receive the resources and support you need to make an impact, delivering better projects with better outcomes. Plus, you'll access exclusive training and benefits to support your ongoing career development. Find out how we can help you reach your potential by visiting apm.org.uk. Because when projects succeed, society benefits.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing your perspectives. And now I welcome the audience to pose any questions. And if you are targeting a specific panelist, please say so.
My name is Hadeniyi from Invest of Hertfordshire. But my question right now is, what's the future for the upcoming project management? You know, looking into the future, how do we manage this affair of image changing?
I mean, you talk about image. I think one of my perceptions as somebody who 3 years ago was not really part of this profession in a meaningful way is that our profession does have an image problem in lots of different ways. I mean, Sue's referred to some of the gender challenges we face. But actually, for those outside the profession, they look at our profession and they think it's all technical. And actually, that's not true. There are technical roles in there, absolutely, but it's not all technical. Lots of it is strategic. And that's important because when it comes to the kind of impacting on the economy, public benefit, driving some of the things that you're talking about, I see project professionals as being really key to strategy execution. So every leader of every business should be thinking, I've got a vision, I've got a strategy, how do I make sure I realise this? And for me, project professionals hold the key. But lots of organisations don't see that. I think we're on a journey very similar to the marketing profession that profession went on. And so let me explain what I mean by that. If you go back 50 years ago, the marketers weren't in the boardroom making decisions and driving strategy. They were in the back room doing the posters, making the adverts and everything else. Now you've got chief marketing officers driving strategy in business and making a real difference. We need to have chief project officers, chief transformation officers, whatever we want to call them, with that skill set and that proper function going from technical all the way up to strategic, driving the kind of change. And that will, I think, in turn, change some of the image challenges that we've got.
I think project management is going to change out of all recognition in the next 5 years. Now, why is that? Several reasons. We're going to move from project management to program management. We're going to be looking at outcomes. The complexity of these mega moving to giga projects is going to be mind-blowing. And we're going to find that even though we have all the tools and systems working really well now, they're not going to be good enough for that sort of challenge. And we've seen the mega projects fail. So we've got to be ready to move to the next step, whether that's in governance, assurance, or as Nick Smallwood is really championing. We become the integrator. We are the people on the project who own the problems and provide the solutions. And then you won't have any image problem because you'll be it. But we're not there yet. We're starting the journey. And I, again, please do get involved because it's going to be terrifically hard but great fun.
Well, I would say that there is also an issue here that the profession is open. So there is no way of identifying exactly how many people can be in the profession. I mean, we have this number, which is 2.3 million, which is amazing. But how many of them are part of an organized effort to advocate for the value of, that they bring into society and into their projects. So we have a small group of people now who are part of this community, and it is very important that everybody comes in and everybody joins some association. There are others I don't want to distinguish, of course, but by being organized in some sort of way, we can then work collectively to change the image. If we don't, if everybody is by themselves, if there's one project manager has a one-man shop and that's it, then we are never going to change the image because we're too diluted. So there is a lot to be said about the profession, not only as a as an institution of expertise development, where we prepare people to do the best that they can do when they are working on projects, but also in terms of advocating for the value of the practice in society.
I wouldn't get too alarmed by the image problem that we seem to be identifying. If we think of ourselves as, you know, a young profession, or part of a young profession, you know, the child that you're at the table and you're having dinner that makes a lot of noise and say, pay attention to me, not interesting. But when they become a teenager and they start participating in the conversation, and that's kind of like the journey we are on. So what are we seeing now? You know, I'm seeing, we've already identified the chief transformation officer role merging and coming up, the clarity and the focus on the roles of sponsors and senior responsible owners. They are at the table. And if you look at some of the emerging trends we're looking at, you know, where are they going to go? The organization's going to go in the public sector, private sector, and third sector to get solve some of these problems. We've got artificial intelligence changing processes and how we operate. Where are they going to go to get help? They're going to come to our profession. So just be at the table, be part of the conversation, add value, and I think that that whole image thing will slowly abate. The one problem that we do have is language, the word project, program, portfolio. It's a muddled mess, and people have a connotation of those terms, and I don't know how we solve that one. I don't want to get into that whole debate, but that is a fundamental problem that we have. So rather, I kind of say, forget that. Let's just be at the table. Let's be part of those conversations and show how we can provide value and put whatever, you know, change, call yourself whatever you want, but draw on the body of knowledge and the expertise and the things that the Association of Project Management provides to what we're trying to achieve.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Hello, nice to see everyone. Simon Davis, KBR. What's being done with this report to go to central government and any of the ministries and engagements with any of those bodies? Are we going to leverage this?
Well, they are here in the room today, some of those very people you're talking about. And I think you'll know that we have a good relationship with not just, for example, Infrastructure and Projects Authority, but also with the vast majority of government departments, many of whom are corporate partners. So, yeah, this is the beginning of a piece of work to leverage this right across the piece. And I was having a conversation with someone this morning who was saying it's not just the delivery departments, as it were, but it's also Treasury itself that we should be engaging with. And that's not something we've done enough of, I think, in the past.
Keep in mind, too, I mean, I'm really impressed with the work that has been done over the past decades in the public sector in the UK. I mean, there wasn't a project management profession until, I mean, we kind of started kicked it in 2004-05, formally in 2009. The ONS wasn't tracking the profession and its level of that's happening. And there's a huge contingent of individuals that that's me. I want to be one of those people. So I think the conversations in the public sector are actually very active right now. There's probably more in this report that there could be, but that's true. I wouldn't say it's unique to the public. I'd say it's a broader conversation. So I think take confidence in what's already been done and build on that.
Thank you. I saw some hands there.
Thanks very much, Ben Farmer from PLMR. Thanks very much. Really interesting report. I wanted to ask about the geographic location and the distribution. Obviously, there's a big focus on London here today, and particularly given the government's Levelling Up programme and Labour's plans for those areas. If you had any insights on what needs to be done geographically or anything else from the report in terms of developing the workforce across the country where these projects are taking place.
The work wasn't focused geographically. It was meant to be a macroeconomic investigation. If you're talking about the implications of that, that's a slightly different conversation. But the actual report itself was not geographically limited, if that makes sense. Now, the trick, and I think maybe what you're trying to get to is what, it's the so what, and how does that get translated into, you know, different regions? That would be the same question with different sectors. And I think what I would encourage is yourself and others is to now have those conversations. You have some information, and to start translating that into what it means. And context matters, right? The industry matters. The economic drivers that are the changing, the geographic environment. The report doesn't translate. There's too many ways we could have gone with the interpretation. We can have a conversation after and around coffee, but I have my own personal opinions, and you'll have yours, and maybe we can find some interesting things.
I saw someone behind, yeah.
Hi, Duncan Ross Russell, Atkins Realis. Projects have a reputation of failing, and there's some nasty statistics out there that we may or may not support around project failure. Yet businesses have a real challenge, as we said, about the need for transformation, the need to move forward. So I'd like to sort of delve a little bit deeper into how the message you want to give us as the profession about how we work together, the APM and the profession, in trying to address that reputation.
For me, it's putting the work up front. Spend all your energy, all your effort, all your brain power in planning what your project's going to be. Make sure you can actually deliver the BCR. Make sure your schedule is robust. Use progressive assurance throughout so that you know at each single point in time where you are on your original plans. Don't say, well, I'm almost ready now, I'm 50% of the way there, let's go out there and build it, or let's go out there and deliver it. Get it rock solid. Get everyone in the team to understand what the top five risks are. It sounds simple. You'd be amazed how many project offices you go around and ask, what are your top five risks? And you get 50 different answers. How on earth are you going to deliver with that team? So really do your planning meticulously. I mean, London 2012, everyone asks me, how come that was so good? And I can honestly, hand on heart, say, myself and my team spent 7 years planning that transportation. That's why it worked. And I just think that psyche is so important. You know, plan, then deliver.
But there is also an issue here, I think, with this idea of failure. And I'm not going to be complacent about failure. We shouldn't be failing. But if you look at the professions more broadly, every profession fails. So doctors have patients that don't survive. Lawyers lose lawsuits. So I think we have a very punishing, if you like, view on our projects failing. Goethe, who is one of my most favorite philosophers, said that only the people who do important things will make important mistakes. When you are involved in something which is very important, there is a very big chance that things might not go well. So the point is, what happens with the failure? Do we learn from the failure? Do we change our mindset? Do we understand, reflect, and then work in a completely different way? Or do we feel that we are not good, we haven't done our job properly, and we go to the next project feeling even worse? So for me, the failure is not the point. The point is what happens after the failure. And there are a lot of things that can be done with the failure.
And then just to add to that, Dr. Giuliano's work on, you know, the 10 main reasons, a really good research piece, on why projects fail. It's really, again, simple. You take those 10 reasons and you make sure you don't do those things. You know, the blueprint's out there, and we can really build that through our projects and programs. And you'll be surprised at how familiar those 10 things are, because we've all been there, seen it, and done it. But honestly, you know, use the research. That's why we're here today.
Yeah. I would just add, the optimism that was talked about today, I think internally as a profession, we are optimistic. But when we talk externally about the profession, we're not so optimistic. And some of that's our obsession with lessons learned and things like that. And that's fine. But I think we need to talk up our profession. Mm. I think things like we have, you know, our awards event, for example, that's about championing the things that go well. But actually, we could be better at that, because there are lots of things that go well. But if you read in the media, it's, you know, 1 in 100 stories or something to find one that's really gone well. And sometimes that's because who wants to put their head above the parapet to say it went really well, just in case they get shot down and someone says, oh, it's not as good as you thought. But we do need to be better at that. I mean, what you were saying about the other professions is really interesting, because I was reflecting on that, and some of those professions, they really celebrate when they get it right.
Yeah.
So we need to be better at that, I think. Let's share that optimism externally.
Thank you, everyone. Well, to wrap up the panel discussion, I would like to pose a final question for anyone who would like to answer it. What area should the profession prioritize to enhance project management?
I would say that what I'll take from this report is that number of 2.32 million people, because that is the group that is going to deliver social transformation that we need in our society. And that is the group that the profession has a very strong role to play in terms of bringing people together and building the synergies. Academia has a very strong role to play in terms of preparing people with the latest knowledge, with the latest skills to take them forward. And for them, for themselves, they have a very significant piece of work to do, the project manager, on themselves, in terms of the self that they bring into the project and who they decide that they are going to be in the project. I think that those are very, very important.
And to me, and I know Adam's working on it, but it is to look more globally, because post-COVID, post-Brexit, we're a tiny, beautiful island, but we are not in a good place. So I think we have to take everything we've learned. I do believe in the UK, our profession is the best in the world. And there's things like risk management, value management, even our commercial management is top class, and we can sell that and really then be known as the foremost project management profession in the world, and have those joining already with PMI. I know we're making those arrangements, but really celebrating the fact that we do it really well. And we can take our 2.32 million and we can have billions of people around the world who are part of our profession. And each one of you can be part of that.
I'd add one thing, and I would say we're on a journey together, and welcome new entrants into our profession. Look for them, support them, but let's learn together as well. And I think there's a number of areas, and we can get into specific topics, you know, as a subsequent conversation, but there's some emerging things that we don't have all the answers. We're still discovering, we're still investigating, we're still researching. It isn't just sort of take and apply what we already know. We're still figuring this stuff out. How is artificial intelligence going to affect organizations, and what is the role of program project managers in actually making that happen? Is a very simple and obvious one. But we're on a journey together. Welcome new people that are coming in, support them, and then let's learn together and develop the resilience we need to have to succeed and deliver well.
Thank you. And I'd like to just reflect back on something that Sue said earlier on about how inclusive our profession is, because for me, this is one of the things that sets it apart from every other profession. We're living times now where actually that divide between the haves and the have-nots, if you call it that, is getting wider, not narrower. And I see the profession as a vehicle, as a catalyst for social mobility, as one of the things that can help to tackle some of the deep-rooted problems. As Sue says, you know, you can finish school at 16 and there is a place in this profession for you, and you can do remarkably well and add huge value in the process. And we should be championing that much more. So for me, that should be a huge area of focus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the APM podcast. For a deeper dive into the Golden Threads findings, navigate to the research section of the APM website, that's apm.org.uk, where you can download the full report. You can also read more about the research in the upcoming summer issue of Project Journal, an APM member benefit, which will be landing on your doorsteps in June. If you've got any comments, feedback or suggestions for us, please get in touch at apmpodcast@thinkpublishing.co.uk. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening.